Church family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. And this is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center and get more information there. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Gather is happening on Saturday, November 1st at 9:30 a.m. in the lobby. And ladies, this is an event for you. So come ready to enjoy connection, food, and encouragement from Pastor Nicole. And also come prepared to be strengthened and encouraged alongside other women in the Word of God. And let us know you'll be there by scanning the QR code on the screen or heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And please remember, there will not be childcare for this event. We cannot wait to spend this morning with you.
Hey church, I have a good news spotlight I want to share with you. We were recently in Port Noir, Congo. God did amazing things over there, but one specific miracle really stands out with me. There was a man that was in a horrific car accident. He had crushed his pelvis. He was not able to walk. He could not stand up. The doctors basically did all they could to try to help him, but there was nothing else they could do. The man came to the crusade that night in faith, believing God for a miracle. And that night, after the prayer of faith was prayed, that man walked for the first time in 2 years to the platform to give God praise for what he's done. Our God's a miracle worker, and guess what? God's not a respecter of persons. What he does for that man in Port Noir, Congo, he's going to do for you. Thank you for taking time to listen to this good news spotlight.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is why we have a small group called Marriage Is Us. This small group is specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage and also connect with other couples in the church. Marriage Is Us meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft. So for more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Are you ready to take your next steps here at Only Believe? Well, we want to invite you to Growth Track, held on the first Sunday of each month, right after church service. To get signed up, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get signed up there. Growth Track is the perfect opportunity to learn and discover more about Only Believe, the history and the vision behind it, and you discover your God-given gifts and how you can use them to serve here at Only Believe. And it is a perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member here at Only Believe. And to make it even better, lunch and childcare are provided. So come ready to grow, connect, and to take your next steps. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
Hey gentlemen, it's Pastor Tim. I just want to invite every guy in the church, regardless of your age, to our next Brotherhood Breakfast happening in October. It's a great time of just fellowship. We have good food and we have some really solid time in the Word and prayer together. It's going to be a great time and we'd love for you to join us. And then in October, we're actually doing a hike together afterwards at John Bryan State Park. So if you would like to join us for that, we'd love to have you for that as well. If you need any more information, don't hesitate to reach out to myself or Andrew Rogers. We'd love to talk with you about Brotherhood Breakfast. Hope to see you there.
You never know what an invite card could do to change someone's life. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews, and statistics say that 80% of people would come to church if they were invited by a friend. So we encourage you to grab an invite card on the pew next to you and invite that friend to come to church with you this week.
And if you missed anything or just want more information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
All right, good morning, good morning. I brought my sack lunch. Anybody else bring your sack lunch? That's how long the message is going to be, just letting y'all know today, okay? And I can share it, or somebody that has some faith can pray over it, and we can add some extra. Amen. All right. Before we begin, the Operation Christmas Child is fast approaching. So if you've done that in the past, that's fantastic. There's three ways that you can help with this. And the first way is you and your family can take a box and go to the store and fill it all up. And it's fantastic to do that as a family for a child. And the kids love putting stuff in there in that box. That's one way you can do it. Or you can come to the packing party, which is going to be here at the church on November the 9th. And that will help pack up hundreds of boxes. That's going to be cool. Right after church, we're going to do that. Or you can pay for the shipping costs when these boxes go all around the world to places that, man, some kids have never seen the toys and the things in these boxes. And these boxes actually can change a life. I've seen it happen in Barahona in the Dominican Republic when I was there. They actually did this for the kids. And they were just amazing. I mean, it wasn't just what was in the boxes, but they preached the gospel after they gave all these toys and these boxes to the kids. And that happens everywhere around the world. So go out to that booth out there, check that out, get involved. We got to do that too with our kids also. So make sure you do that. Praise the Lord. Everybody happy? Yeah. It's another beautiful day outside. Hallelujah. I love the warm weather. I could stay like this all year round, and all the hunters said boo. I know. I get it. It's okay. We're starting a new series today. And in this new series, it's titled, Siri, Help Me or Remind Me. And of course, that's it. Do life God's way is today. Help me, remind me to do life God's way and not our way. And so as I was actually writing the message out today, I was thinking about my father. He probably passed away almost 2 years ago now. And but he worked for me for 15 years, and we would go around and fix up properties and keep them for rent and things of that nature. Well, there was a lot of times we would get into a project and there would be something that needed to be done, and I would say, well, Dad, I think we should do it this way, and like this, and he would say, well, son, I think it needs to be done this way, and I would go, okay, and sometimes we get in an argument about it, and finally, when it had climaxed and neither of us were going to give in, he would look at me and said, okay, son, here's the deal. Do you want to do it your way or the right way? Yeah, that's my dad. He was subtly telling me that his way was right and mine was wrong, you know. And I'll be honest, probably 7 out of 10 times he was right and I was wrong. So we would do it his way. And of course, that's what brought to my remembrance when I'm writing this message, you know, doing things God's way and not our way. As Americans, we know how to celebrate our independence. We do it very well. We all remember, most of us do, if we were back in high school on July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress, if we remember, officially adopted the document signifying the formal break from British rule. America said we were going to do it our way and not the British way any longer. And we celebrate July 4th every year with fireworks and picnics and parades because we're doing it our way. And doing things our way is also in the music that we listen to everywhere. From the song Follow Your Heart, which I have no idea what that is, Trust Yourself, You Only Live Once, and of course, the famous one that all the old people that are 60 and over know, and that's the Frank Sinatra song. We all remember that one, of course. Let the record show. I took the blows and... Wow, that's amazing. That was awesome. Yes, I did it my way. Amen. That was good. That was really good. Choir, band... person up there. You know, and the deal is this, it was really clear that we want to do things our way. That's what all them songs and everything is. We're going to do it our way. And that's it. So my question is, and I always give you a question. Today I probably give you two or three questions. But the first one is this, why can't we see that God's way is better? Why can't we see that? Well, I've got some answers for you. The first one is this. Some people claim to be atheists, okay? And they don't believe there is a God, so their way is the only way. And they don't want to do it anybody else's way. But unfortunately for them, because of the advancement in science, we now have proof that space and time and matter did come into existence from a point of origin. You got to think like them, talk like them. But they still say that there is no proof that an intelligent designer was the first to cause the uncaused first cause that caused everything. That's what they say, all right? They still refuse to believe that God was the unmoved mover. So they do things their way. It's very sad. And here's the deal. In Psalms 14:1, the Bible says that only fools say in their hearts that there is no God. God called them that. I didn't. This is him talking, okay? But then you have the agnostics that are out there, and they kind of plead the fifth on everything. To me, it's a little bit of a cop-out because they're like this. They do not claim to know, nor do they claim to deny the existence of God. So they also just do things their way. But for most of us, when we look around, Christians and non-Christians, and we see the world, we see nature, we see a designer, we see that things are in order, nature is in order, and we know there is a God. And most of us know that he is the creator and that he created us. Right. We see that and we know that. Luke 12:7 says this, "The very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." Thank God I'm more valuable than sparrows. Hallelujah. He created you and I on purpose and for a purpose. He did. We were not meant to just survive in this life. There has got to be more to life than waking up, going to work, coming home, eating dinner, watching television, partying on the weekends, retiring at the age of 68, and then dying 3 years later. I've buried people like that. That right there is the very definition of just existing. Somebody say amen to that? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says this, "He died for everyone so that who receives this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them." In other words, he wants us to do things his way. His way. And as we do things his way, all other things will come into alignment. It didn't say it'd be easy. So this life is H-E-L-L, right? And I tell people all the time, I said, listen, if you're not a Christian and you don't want to serve God and do things his way, then this life is the only heaven you're ever going to see. But if you are a Christian and you do God's way as best as we know how and you live for him the best you know how, then this earth is the only hell you'll ever see. I say that to people all the time. And it's true. It's absolutely very true. Mark, the 8th chapter, verse 36, says this, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?" So that tells me that life is more than just being successful as well. I work all my life. Yeah, I'm successful. I made lots of money, but I didn't know God. Well, what happens then? I've done tons and tons of funerals, more than I care to do. I try to pass them off on other people. Funerals are difficult. Even though the loved one might be a Christian, has gone to heaven, it's still very, very difficult. And as we go out to the gravesite, as many funerals that I have done, when that hearse pulls up, I never have once seen a U-Haul attached to that hearse, ever. I don't see furniture coming out, televisions. I don't see anything going with that person. He comes out by himself. Goes into that ground by himself. And most of the time, all his stuff is being argued about by family members. Fights, everything happens. So being successful is fine, but it's not what God wants either for us. It's really not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Seek him first. Do what he says first. Do life his way first and see what he will do for you and I. That's the simple message. That's what it's about. But even after reading all those scriptures, believing what they say, a lot of Christians, let alone people that are not Christians, still have a hard time doing things God's way. We do. If we're honest with ourselves, we do. I remember T.L. Osborne. A lot of you may not know who he was, but he has probably won more people to Jesus still today than anybody in the world. When he started way back in the 50s, going overseas to other countries, and people would get saved by the tens of thousands. And miracles, signs, and wonders were behind his message. It was beautiful. But he, when he was in America and even overseas, he would pray for every single person. Lay hands on every single person that was sick. It'd take him hours and hours and hours and hours to do this. Well, one day there was another man, and he was up in Michigan, and he was really tired of ministering, and they asked T.L. Osborne to come up there and do the meeting, and so he went up there with his wife. As he was standing there, the Lord spoke to him and said, T.L., he said, if I can heal one person, you think I could heal three people at the same time? And T.L. was like, yeah, I think so. Okay, well, if I can heal three people at the same time, you think I can heal seven people at the same time? He said, I suppose you can, God. You can do anything. And then he said even more. He said, if I can heal seven people at the same time, you think I can heal 10 people at the same time? And T.L. said, yes, I think so. So I think he got the hint after that. And so he had everybody that was in wheelchairs come up front, and there were 10 people in wheelchairs. And he prayed a simple prayer over each one and didn't touch them, and every one of those people came out of wheelchairs. This is in the 60s. Everyone came around. He was like, wow, I don't need to lay hands on everybody, but I can just give a mass prayer, and your word will heal and set people free. That's what we do today all around the world. That's what we do today. But that happened. He saw that happen. He was like, wow, I can do that. But the very next meeting, instead of doing it God's way, he went right back to doing it his way and prayed for everybody in the congregation that was there. I don't know. He said, I just need to beat myself. He finally figured it out. But God's way was better than his way. And sometimes it takes us time to figure this out, even when we do it God's way once. How many of you guys have ever lost your keys? Oh, yeah. Everybody has. Thank you. Now I have this thing that everybody's put on mine. It's some kind of a little thing, and it beeps at me all the time, you know, so I don't lose them. But how many of us has went crazy trying to find them, and your wife or your spouse or whatever says, have you prayed about it? Okay, I'll pray. And then God reveals where the keys are. But then the very next time we lose our keys, what do? We don't pray first. We pray last. If we just do it God's way. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. Why else? Don't we want to do things God's way? Is it because we think our way is easier? Well, it might be at first. It might be. Is it because we want free will? Well, free will. God gives us free will. Or is it because of sin? Well, we don't do it our way because of sin. What if the devil is blinding us? It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So it could be the devil that blinds us and is why we don't do it his way. I think a lot of it too might be pride. Pride that keeps us from doing things God's way. I mean, we just want control. Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do with my life. My parents told me, my boss tells me, my wife or husband tell me, but nah, God ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it myself. It's true. It could be just pride. Or could it be just willful disobedience as well? It can't be that. We know the truth, but we have a greater desire for worldly things and worldly pleasures. That's why we want to do things our way. And for each of those questions, the answer is found in Proverbs 14, 12. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in what? Death. It ends in death. The deal is this: surrendering God's way takes trust. It takes trust. Amen. We had First Saturday prayer down here, and everybody was here. A lot of people here Saturday. It was wonderful. And everybody was down here, and they were getting the prayer needs cards. We have people put their prayer needs that you saw earlier today that Pastor Nicole's talking about. And everybody took them, and I was not paying attention, and there was only like one left. Whoa, I ran up there, and I forget whose. I was like, it's mine, man. Get my prayer card. It's mine. I'm going to pray over this thing. I turned around, I opened it, and I read the whole thing, and there's lots of salvations that needed to happen. Pray for salvations for my family. But the other thing, and I thought it was so interesting, I said, oh, God, you're so good. It said, help me to trust in God for my life, that I give it all up and let him guide me and lead me. I was like, wow. I told me again, I was right on what I was supposed to talk about today. It was beautiful. Doing things God's way. But unfortunately, from the very beginning, guys, at creation, doing things our way instead of God's way has always been a problem. Always been a problem. Adam and Eve, we all pretty much know who Adam and Eve were. They were deceived into believing their way was better than God's way. God said, the whole garden is yours. The whole thing. It's all yours except for one tree. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else you can eat from. So I thought to myself, okay, instead of lunch, I brought some candy. And let's just say that this candy, all right, represents trees that were in the Garden of Eden, all right? So these are all trees. We're not sure how big the Garden of Eden was. I mean, there was three rivers that came out of it, so it had to be pretty big. Maybe it was a city. I don't know, something like that. But let's just say that all these are trees in the garden, all right? And in the middle of the garden, God said there were two trees. There was a tree of life, and there were a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were set in the middle of the garden. So these beautiful gold trees are sitting in the middle of the garden. Now the Bible says that every tree was good for food and was pleasing to the eye. So let's just say that the garden was 20 acres. It had to be a lot bigger than that. Everywhere Adam and Eve looked, everything was pleasing to the eye and it was good for food. Every one of them. Every one of them. Now, in the middle, there were just two, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good. Don't touch those trees. But as I looked through the Bible, I looked everywhere. There's something wrong with those two trees that I put in the middle. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that they were any different than any other tree. They weren't gold. They didn't shimmer. They didn't have glitter all on them when the leaves. No. So, them were out. I should have thrown those to you guys. You'd have loved them. Yeah. Good nuggets. Sorry. The band gets them. Okay. No. Those two look like any other tree in the garden, other than they were in the middle. That's it. They also look good. They also had food on them. Just don't touch that one. It wasn't about anything else. It was about choice. Were they going to believe God? Were they going to trust God? Were they going to do everything God's way? Or were they going to find out on their own what good and evil are really all about? Nothing to do with anything else. They had all these trees. And they picked that one. Now, as humans, And I do this, and we all do this. When somebody tells us, don't do something, man, it's human nature to go, why did you have to say that? Why did you say that? It's like putting the wet paint sign on the pole. Don't touch, paint wet. What do? And I'm a painter and I still want to touch it too. And I've done it. I've seen a wet paint. Well, that's a painter over there. Wet paint sign. Oh, it's dry. It's dry. It's what we do. It's ridiculous. It's like having that button that says, don't push this button ever. What are we going to do? I wonder what that button does if I push it. It's human nature. But to be fair with Adam and Eve, they were perfect. We're not perfect. So they probably maybe didn't have that at that time. But what does the Bible says? It said that because of the devil, because of his cunning craftiness, because of his deception, that Eve ate from that tree. And Adam knew what God said. He told it to Eve. He knew they weren't supposed to do it. They knew they were supposed to not do it their way. And because they were deceived, they did what they were not supposed to do. And when they did that, they opened Pandora's box. They crossed the line. They opened a can of worms that this didn't affect them, but it affected creation. It affected everyone. Everyone. Death came into the world. And we don't know how long it took. We don't know how long the devil deceived Eve. We don't know how long he tempted her. It could have been months, years, centuries. Who knows how long it took? But the point is this. Every time she would go into the garden to get fruit, the devil would say, what about that one? So you know she had to be looking at it. And I'll bet you every day she'd get closer and closer and closer to that tree because the devil was working in her mind. And she kept looking at it and looking at it and looking at it until finally she took it. She was deceived. And here's a good reminder of this. If you look too long, you will do the wrong. If you look too long, you will do the wrong. We've all been there and we've all done it. It's true. Romans 5:12 says this. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. God's way was better, but they couldn't see it because of deception. Deception. And when we look and walk all through the Bible, we see another story, and that's of Abraham and Sarah. Most of us know Abraham and Sarah, very old people. They loved God. They had never had kids their whole life, but they loved God. They believed in God. They served God, and God blessed them very well. But in the end, as he's getting old, he looks at God and says, God, but who am I going to give all this stuff to? I'm thankful that I'm blessed, but I have nobody to share it with. I have no descendants. I have no heirs. What in the world am I going to do? So God then promises him a son. Promises him a son. And says in Genesis chapter 17 that he would be given Abraham a son through his wife Sarah, and his name shall be called Isaac. So God gave him a promise. But after years and years of waiting, and probably trying, I would have been trying. God gave me that promise. Come on, baby, let's go. It didn't happen. They still didn't have children. So, in Genesis chapter 16, Sarah, who could still have no children, told Abraham to sleep with her maidservant Hagar. What he told her to do. Things went south between Hagar and Sarah after that. But eventually, Hagar got pregnant and had a son named Ishmael. Now, here's the deal. That was not God's plan, and that was not his way. It wasn't. That was them doing things their way and not God's way. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 18, after Ishmael was born and God came back and talked to Abraham, Abram said to God, "May Ishmael live under your special blessing?" But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. So God said, no, sorry, bro. That's not going to happen your way. This was not my way. This was your way, and no, I'm not going to do what you said. I'm going to do it my way still. So once again, their choices to do things their way thousands of years ago, okay, instead of God's way, are affecting us even today. Somebody say today. Because the false Muslim religion of Islam was born through the lineage of Ishmael. Wow. It's crazy. Two simple choices from Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah, who knew God, who loved God, who obeyed his commandments, still in their life did something their way that has affected even you and me today. And that's sin and false religion. Wow. By doing two choices their way, we're still affected by it today. Thanks a lot, you guys. But would we have done any better? We probably would have done worse. Yeah. All the choices or decisions that we make do have consequences. Good consequences and bad consequences. They don't just affect us. We have to understand they affect our families. They can affect our families even down the road, a month, a year, millennials. We don't know. I mean, if you think about this, and I looked this obviously up, the Titanic, if you look at the builders of the Titanic, whether they were in a hurry, whether they knew what they were doing or didn't know what they were doing, I think they knew what they were doing. But the limited lifeboats that they put on that boat was astonishing. And they had the room to build and make the other ones. They had the room, they had the money. It wasn't short of anything. But because that decision was done, it led to the massive loss of 1,500 people dying when that boat sank back in 1912. How many of our relatives are not here today because of that decision? That didn't get to see life because of those 1,500 people dying. Everything we do has consequences. Every decision we make has consequences. Not all bad, but not all good. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Yep. Are you mopping up what I'm spilling? Okay. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and we're going to read verse 1 all the way down to verse 9. And it says here, as Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel, men in Ramah, they met in Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. In verse 5, look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord in guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. Now, what's crazy about this story is God wanted to continue guiding them as he always had, and he always won. He never lost a battle. He got them out of Egypt of slavery for over 400 to 500 years. I mean, the Roman Empire was now drowning underwater. Are you kidding me? He held them by day and night, kept them safe, fed them every day. Not one person was sick for 40 years. Not even a cough. Man, that's powerful. That's amazing. But they wanted it done their way. So God said, okay, but tell them what's going to happen to them if they want it their way. Let them know what that king is going to do to them. So Samuel told the people in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11, says this. Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking him for a king. "This is how a king will reign over you," Samuel said. "The king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and his charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow in his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officers and attendants. Verse 16, he will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks and you will be his slaves. When this does come, or when this day happens, or when it does come, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding, but then the Lord will not help you." So he told all the people that. Man, what would you and I have said? Can we have another vote? I like to keep my sons and daughters here, and I like my fields, and I think I'll keep everything. Let's have another vote on this. 1 Samuel 8, verse 19, "But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king," they said. "We want to be like the other nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle." Maybe that's another reason why we want to do it our way and not God's way. Maybe we want to be like everybody else. The king God gave them was Saul. And he was great in the beginning. He was doing fine, but he wanted to lead on his terms. He wanted to lead the people his way and not God's way. He disobeyed God's commands, and because he feared the people more than he feared the Lord, it cost him his kingdom. And again, that brings up another question. Maybe we want to do it our way and not God's way because we want to please people around us. We want to please people around us. I was never, nobody could ever, how am I supposed to say that? In school, I could care less what people thought of me. I didn't care. I never smoked, drank, dipped, chewed, never ran around with people that dude. Never did it. I didn't care. You know, you need to smoke this, man, who do you think you are? Blah, 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 whatever. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. I want to be like other people. But that's what happened to them. And then, so here's the deal. After he sinned and lost the kingdom, God said, "I'm going to now put the next king of Israel into place." So what did he do? He told Samuel the prophet, "Go to a town called Bethlehem. There's a dad there. His name is Jesse. He has sons. I want you to go there because that next king is coming from them. I'm choosing them. I'm doing it my way," God said. Jesse goes to the house. "I need all your sons to come out here right now." Because back then, the prophets, man, they were powerful. People were afraid of the prophets because they knew they came from God, and whatever God said was going to happen. Jesse brought all his sons out, 7 of them, lined them all up, from oldest to the youngest. And even when the prophet Samuel, who knew God, trusted God, saw the oldest son, who probably looked a little like me, you know? Good looking, blonde, blue eyes. Unfortunately, he was a little taller, probably 6 foot something. Whoopee-doo. Samuel, who knew God, said, "He's the one. He's the one." And God looked at Samuel and said, Nope, Samuel, not your way, my way. You people look at the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. Even Samuel was almost messing up. He goes all through the kids, and of course we know the story. None of them, Samuel's now kind of, "Whoa, did I know? What's going on? You got anybody else around here?" Just David. "You got another one out in the field. Bring him in here. We ain't going to eat or sit down until you bring him in." And God said, "He's the one." God got his way. Wasn't going to do things. If God would have let Samuel pick, he'd have picked the wrong one again. He'd have done it his way. But God did it his way. God picked him this time. If we look at Moses, out of anger, did things his way. He was mad at all the children of Israel. I can't imagine 3 million people complaining all the time. Wow, your own kids, they just drive you nuts. Let alone 3 million people. And he got angry. They were thirsty. I need some water. And I really do need some water. Anyhow, give him some water. He's like, oh, these people, all they do is complain. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. All they do is complain. And God said, I want you to speak to the rock, and the water's going to come out. And he was so mad, he struck the rock. These people, bam, I can do this to the people. Water still came out. But because of his disobedience and him doing it his way and not God's way, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Oh, wow. Because of disobedience, doing one thing wrong. Now, God was gracious. He was merciful. He allowed Moses, he allowed Moses to see the promised land, what it was about, but he wouldn't let him go in because he did it his way. Jonah and the whale, we remember that in growing up. Jonah said he wasn't going to do it at all. I'm not going to do it God's way, and I ain't even going to do it my way. I'm going the opposite way. And he went 3,000 miles away from where God told him to go. Now, he wasn't doing it at all. And we all know the story. He became fish food for a while. But he finally listened and did it God's way. But even if you read the story really close, even though he did it God's way, he still wasn't happy. He still complained. And yet God still tried to work with him over and over and over, even though he did it God's way. David, out of pride, called for a census of Judah and Israel against God's regulations to see how mighty his military was. God wanted him to use and rely on him, not his own might and through his own people. But David couldn't see that. Even David's own commander, Joab, said, David, don't do this. It's wrong. But he did it anyway. And because David chose to do it his way, God gave him three different punishments that he could choose from. I wouldn't have wanted to choose from any of them, but David chose 3 days of pestilence. It killed 70,000 of his people. 70,000. Again, one bad choice, doing things our way, cost him 70,000 lives. How do you live with yourself? Our decisions have consequences. But when we read all these stories, and then when we go to the New Testament, and we open up to the book of Hebrews, there's a collection of God's heroes, great heroes of faith, men and women, who God used and blessed. And as I read, of course, through all the names and some of the people that God used and blessed, we read some of the ones that we just talked about were in those great people, that collection that God used and blessed. They weren't perfect examples. But God's not looking for perfect, is he? Was David perfect? No. Was it perfect? No, he's looking at the heart. He's looking at the heart. He's not looking at perfection. They did things their way when God told them to do things his way. But what's funny is that when you go into chapter 11, of Hebrews mentions only the victories of the people and none of the things they did wrong. As a matter of fact, I just talked about Sarah and Abraham in Hebrews 11:11. This is what God says about Sarah. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. What do you mean he judged him faithful? I didn't even mention she laughed at God when said, you're going to have a baby. She heard God and Moses talking and, what? Are you kidding me? And God asked, why did she laugh? Don't she know I can do anything? I can do anything? Didn't mention that in Hebrews 11:11. It didn't mention her doing things herself. Taking it upon herself to try to have that baby through her maidservant. Didn't mention that. I didn't read it. You read it in there anywhere? I read it in there at all. No. No. Mm-mm. God sees what we will become and not necessarily what we are today. He only brought out the good. Man, he's gracious. He's merciful. Man, he is. So today, somebody say today. Today, today is the day to stop resisting God. And today is the day to say that his way is better.
Oh, Lord, I need you now more than any ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world till my head hit her, just to find out your way's better. Oh,
absolutely, his way's better. Hallelujah. So today, if you're a believer and you're sitting in here, but you've been living your way and not his way in some areas of your life, and you've been rebellious maybe, maybe you've been in sin and been doing it your way and not his way, today is the day that you need to change that. You need to change it. Lay your pride down if it's pride. Stop resisting if you've been resisting. If it's willful disobedience, simply repent. It's that simple. If you've been trying to fit in, stop trying to fit in. God says you're peculiar. I mean, you're weird looking, David. You know that? Man, you are a peculiar person. Come on, you've been told that. That's right. We ain't supposed to fit in. We're supposed to stand out. Amen? Come on. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We ain't supposed to be like them. Praise God. Romans 12:2 says this: do not be conformed or follow this world. No, no, no. But be ye transformed, be changed by the renewing of our minds. Value God's will over the world's standards. Do things God's way, not the world's way, and not your way, but his way, because his way is the right way. Amen. You hear that, Dad? I got it. I figured it out finally. I got it right. That's what you can do today as Christians. We're not perfect. We mess up. But thank God he hears our prayers. He forgives us as we change and move on. He helps us. Now, that's for you Christians. We always have to be ready to repent and be humble. Sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need a rebuke. It's okay. I mean, how many of your kids need rebuked, need correction, because they want to do things their way? You know, there's not one time when they wanted to go, well, I don't know, there's some crazy families out here, but I would say that there's not one time when your kids wanted to go out into the road and do things their way, you let them do it. Especially if it was a highway. Now, maybe it was a cul-de-sac. Okay, go ahead. Oh, oh, they want to do it their way, but we knew better as parents. And God says, listen, folks, if you, being evil, know how to do good to your kids, and even when they want to do things that you know it's going to hurt them, let him put the finger in the socket. He'll do it once. You know, we stop those things. How much better is God? How much more does God love us and want the best for us? There's a story. Albert Einstein was on a train. Got on the train and he sat down in a seat. And of course, the conductor was going by. And he was grabbing tickets and punching them from each person that was sitting there. And he comes by Albert Einstein and he says, "Ticket, sir." And Albert says, nods his head and reaches in his pocket. No ticket. He reaches in his other pocket and there's no ticket. He looks beside him and moves some stuff over and he looks around and no ticket. And the conductor says, "Mr. Einstein, I know who you are. It's okay. I know that you would have never got on this train without a ticket, so don't worry about it. It's okay." Mr. Einstein, still looking around, he just looks up and nods at him and goes on. The conductor just goes on down the train line and grabbing tickets and punching them. And he's getting ready to open up another car door and he looks back. And he sees that Albert Einstein is now on the ground, on his hands and knees, looking for his ticket still. So the conductor comes back over. Mr. Einstein, it's okay if you can't find your ticket. I know who you are. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Mr. Einstein looks up at him and says, I'm glad you know who I am, and I know who I am, but I need that ticket because I forget where I'm going. So I ask you today who don't know Jesus, do you know where you're going? Do you know? Serious question. I know who I am in Christ, and I know where I'm going. But do you know where you're going? And I think, you know, and I hope that you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, you know what, man, you make a lot of sense. But there's two things you need to remember. That conviction that's in your heart today, that's coming from the Lord. There's a hole there that'll never be filled until you decide to do things God's way. But that other thought, that other thing that's hitting you like, man, this dude's crazy. That's coming from the devil. That's coming from your mind. He's a deceiver, remember? A deceiver. He'll deceive you as long as he can until you're dead. So the conviction's coming from your heart, but that deception's coming from your mind. And today there is a choice, a choice. I hope today that you'll pick Jesus because he's already punched your ticket. He already has made the way for you. While we were yet in sin, he died for you. So everybody stand up this morning. Stand up. I say this all around the world, and I don't mean anything by it negatively. I speak to thousands and thousands of adults. I speak to thousands and thousands of children. I say the same thing everywhere I go. Me personally, I care about you. Yes, I do. But I don't care if you choose God or not. It's not my job to get you to do anything. I speak the truth. I've given the truth. It's up to you now if you want to take the truth or not. I don't care. I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I know I have a relationship with God, and I have seen so many miracles, so many signs, and so many wonders, not through other people, but even just through my family. My daughter wasn't even supposed to be here today. She was supposed to have an abortion. But no, we believe God, trusted God, and she's here, 26-year-old, safe, sound, and perfect because we trusted God. I've seen him. He's real. He's alive. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the Lord Jesus. Whether you love him or you don't, you will kneel and you will bow. So you might as well make the choice today to start doing it his way and not your way. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, because we're not here to embarrass anybody, but I do want you to see that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, everybody here has done that. Everybody here has said to say yes to Jesus and want to grow and want to be discipled and wanted to do it his way, whether it hurt or whether it didn't. And we all mess up because this is just a spiritual hospital around here. But we all love each other. We all care about each other. And we all want the best for each other. So I say this again with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to receive Jesus today, he says you have to admit and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And believe in your heart that on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And you shall be saved, the Bible says. It's that simple. I want to pray that with you today if you want to. If you would like Jesus and start a life that, yeah, it is still going to be difficult. I ain't going to lie to you. But he's with you. He's there to help you. Then please simply raise your hand and I'm going to pray that prayer with you today. Anybody in the house? It's not going to be long. I don't mess around. Anybody, raise your hand at all. Jesus sees you once. I see a hand. I see another hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. God sees that hand. That's thank you. I see that hand. That's God. That's not us. That's not me. I could care less. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Do it God's way, not your way. Why not? Going twice. He's knocking. He'll knock until you're dead. Once you're dead, it's over. Can't knock anymore. And this is eternity. This is eternity. This life is a vapor. Here today, it'll be gone tomorrow. Last time. Anybody else? Okay. If you raise your hand, just please pray this after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody, go ahead and pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning as a sinner on our way to hell. But Lord, I ask you right now to forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me for doing life my way. I thank you, Jesus, that right now all my sins are washed away and you never remember them again. Now, Jesus, help me, lead me, and guide me. Bring people by my path that will help me live for you. And Jesus, as you died for me, I will now live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 The greatest miracle of all, salvation. The greatest miracle. Now, if you raised your hand, obviously we want to give you a Bible if you don't have one. We want to talk to you for a minute, give you something to go home with. If you don't have a home church, here's one. We love y'all. We love you. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. Man, we got small groups. We got all kinds of stuff here. Thank you for being honest and open. And this day will change your life. It really will. Just doing things God's way and not our way. And before I close here and pray, today also, speaking of people that have come into the church, we have Growth Track today. It's in the north section, room 306. If you want to become a member of the church, we go through our Growth Track program. It tells you what we've done in the beginning, how the church grew, what's happening. We give you an assessment which tells you where your giftings are and your talents, and we want you to use them to help other people. Remember, we're doing things God's way now, not our way. So make sure you're there for that. We have babysitting and we feed them as well, and you get food as well. So if you signed up for that, make sure you do that right after church. Man, God is so good. God is so good. Father, I just thank you for the congregation. Lord, I just was stalling to see if you wanted to do anything else this morning. God, I thank you for your sweet presence that's in this place. I thank you for saving, healing, and setting people free today, Lord God. Oh God, I thank you, Father. People's minds, Lord God, Father, are being set free. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, peace coming over their minds right now, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that worry that's on you right now, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, whoever that is, and I command it to dissipate and go. And I thank you, Father, that they will now begin to, by faith, trust in you. And God, you lead them, speak to them, and guide them in Jesus' name. It's going to be all right, no problems. God, I thank you for that right now, God. I thank you for setting that mind free in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for blessing each and every one of us here today. God, I thank you that as they leave, God, I pronounce health in their bodies, God. I pronounce blessing in their lives and their families' lives. I plead the blood of Christ over everyone here today. No harm nor danger, Lord God. Come near them. Protect them, angels. Cover them in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for great favor everywhere they go. God, I thank you for opening doors, Father, to witness to people, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Father, leading other people to Jesus, sowing seeds into their lives, Lord God. Thank you for these things. We thank you for today. We thank you for the salvations today. We give you praise for it all. Amen and amen. Yes. Yeah. If you did give your life to Christ, we do want to meet you, like I said. So you go to the, come right down here. Okay, come right down here, please, just for a couple minutes. We love you guys. We care for you. Everybody. Everybody else, we love you. God bless you guys, and we will see you Wednesday night, 7 p.m.